It's time for the Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. We have 15 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have some weather coming in. I think it's finally getting into its meteorological fall for sure this week. We have a small craft advisory beginning tonight, and then a gale watch from late tonight through Wednesday evening. So, we're going to have some wind and rain in the forecast. Today we have southwest winds 10 knots becoming south 10 to 15 knots later in the day and rain late tonight. Wind waves from the south 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, west swells 5 feet at 10 seconds apart, but seas by Thursday will be up to 16 feet, so we're getting up in the teens. And when you start seeing those wave heights getting up above 10 feet, into the teens, you start wondering about whether the Columbia River bar is going to end up being closed. When the seas reach about 20 feet, that's a pretty dangerous range to bring ships into the river when the waves are that big. And so that's when you start seeing the restrictions on ship traffic and sometimes the outright closure of the Columbia River bar temporarily. That's a call made generally by the Columbia River bar pilots along with the Coast Guard. On when the river is just the conditions at the mouth of the river are just too dangerous to bring ships across that very narrow area where there's a lot of turbulence anyway, even when things are good. So we're getting into that time of the year. I'm going to be watching the sea heights and keeping you posted on that. And today I want to talk with you about new rules on the Columbia for recreational and commercial salmon fishing that were just announced this month that will change the balance between commercial and sport fishery on the Columbia and allow gill netting back on the mainstream part of the Columbia River. It's kind of a big deal. So, let's talk about our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders, we have 8 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Turicum. She is a bulk carrier arriving from Singapore, headed for Portland. I think she may be bringing in fertilizer ingredients, possibly urea. Passing Astoria around 2:30 a.m., she would be in Portland by about 8:30 this morning, so ships travel all hours of the day and night. The Inspiration Lake is arriving from South Korea, headed for Longview. She's going there to pick up logs. She'll pass Astoria around 5:30 a.m. and probably be in the Longview area by about 9 a.m. today. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the Ikan Bagat headed for the Rainier anchorage. She's picking up wheat. The Rainier anchorage is on the south side of the river in the Longview area. It's interesting that they anchor the ships on both ends there. They have actually anchor buoys, which are federally funded anchor buoys that are located in various places on the Rainier side of the river there. And when ships come in, they anchor usually their sterns to those anchor buoys and they drop an anchor off the bow and it keeps them in place so they don't swing at anchor. There's just not enough room there at Longview. And the currents are very intense there at certain times. So at any rate, she'll be anchoring there. Probably very carefully, well, always very carefully. Everything is done very carefully on the river. And she'll be picking up wheat right across the river there at Longview eventually. She'll be leaving the anchorage about 8:30 this morning and heading up to Rainier, get there maybe around noontime. All of our other ships in the anchorage today, anchorages are awaiting orders. The African Griffin, the Saldana, the Frontier Leader, the Yanis B, the Explorer Oceana, the JY London, and the Triton Seahawk. And in our outbounders, the African Kite is leaving Portland carrying wheat. She's bulk carrier. Leaving around 7:30 this morning, she could pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. The Cetus is leaving Longview carrying wheat at about 10:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. The Red Sakura is leaving Portland with potash on board around noontime, passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. And the Genevan Trader is leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. And the articulated tug and barge, the Commitment, is leaving Portland with petroleum on board, refined petroleum, leaving around 9:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. So today I'd like to talk with you a little bit about salmon fishing on the Columbia, about commercial fishing and sport fishing, which are two parts of the fishing industry that are usually kind of in a tug of war with one another over how the fishing season each year is allocated. If there's a specific run of fish, who gets what percentage and how all those rules happen. Well, there's been a fairly significant change. And there was an interesting article in the Longview Daily News that I was reading, and I thought, well, let me share some of this with you, because fishing is such a big part of life here in our communities. This is kind of an important thing. So let me read you a little bit from it. I am not an expert by any means on fishing. I'm sure if you have a fisherman in your life, they will explain to you their perspective on things. So let me just share a little bit about what this article says. A recent update to the state, this is Washington State because the Daily News is in, Longview Daily News is in Longview, Washington. To the state's Columbia River Salmon Management Policy will change harvest allocations and allow commercial gill netting on the main stem of the Columbia. So that is the change. It's going to increase the amount of the percentage of fish that commercial fishermen can take and once again allow gill netting on the main stem of the Columbia. So the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife approved the controversial changes on September 11th, so this is very recent. The updates shift the allowable harvest for spring, summer, and fall Chinook fisheries to an average threshold of 70% recreational and 30% commercial. That's compared to the 80% recreational and 20% commercial split that was previously in place. So the rules are set to take effect in 2021. The specifics may change as Washington officials work with Oregon on the rules. Now, returning gill nets to the list of approved commercial gear on the Columbia is kind of a big deal. Since 2013, commercial fishermen have not been able to fish with gill nets on the main stem of the Columbia. So while there's an uproar certainly going on, to some degree, according to this article, some pushback from recreational fishing guides, commercial fishermen are saying that this helps make their industry more viable. So they assessed this rule over the past 7 years and discovered that it didn't apparently have the effect that they wanted it to have. And so now they have changed it, essentially changed it back to some degree and changed the quota levels between the two different factions within the fishing industry. So here's a little bit more about the old plan and why it got rid of gill netting. The old plan intended to get rid of gill nets because they are not mark selective, so fishers can't identify different types of fish before harvesting them. So that means that they can end up with quite a bit of bycatch, apparently, which are fish you don't intend to catch that end up in your net, and in some cases endangered species like steelhead, which are protected under federal law. But commercial fishermen say that they have improved nets over the years so that there isn't so much bycatch. So commercial fishermen contend that these policy changes are not that big. Sport fishermen will still have the vast majority of the allowable harvest on the river, and commercial fisheries will still be highly regulated by wildlife officials. For local gill netters whose way of life has revolved around the practice of gill netting for multiple generations, those little changes are, quote, significant to us. The policy update also increases the commercial share of the harvest, which could put more salmon on the market for non-fishing residents. Here's a quote, "We are fishing for the public. Only about 9% of the public in Washington buys a recreational fishing license, and only 30% of those are for salmon. If you want local fish, you have to get them from commercial fishermen." So there was a little bit on a very complex topic from the Longview Daily News. And if you want to read more, you can go to tdn.com and look it up. It's a big headline on their website right now because it is a significant story for a region that relies so heavily on commercial fishing. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.